Bitcoin's price just dumped this week with a nearly $13,000 drop over just 4 days.
Listen, always do the opposite of Jim Cramer. You will be rich for it.
I'm not really surprised by this because I don't know that governments want to be as transparent as Bitcoin would force them to be.
Bitcoin's price just dumped this week with a nearly $13,000 drop over just 4 days. Sailor is selling, AI is sucking the air out of the room, and global uncertainty is out of control. Bitcoiners, is it time to panic? Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Today it's me and two queens of Bitcoin, Sophie and Bitcoin Katie. Ladies, let's jump right in here. So Bitcoin is dumping. What do you think is going on here, Sophie? Have you lost your conviction?
You know, I think the only conviction that I think I had lost at the beginning of the year was that it was the end of the 4-year cycle. And to be honest, we might have been proven wrong on that. This might just be the 4-year cycle. We peaked in October of 2025, and now it just makes sense that we're in a downtrend until probably the end of the year before we start coming up again. I was looking at some tweets actually this morning about the power law and how actually Bitcoin is severely underpriced, and I don't exactly know what that's attributed to. Maybe people are FOMOing into the S&P 500. The market is having, you know, the best year ever where they're up, you know, a lot. And so it could be attributed to that. But according to the power law, you know, the absolute bottom is 58K. Funny enough. So we have a little bit of ways to go. This might be the bottom, but we don't know. And then there's like this other chart that talks about like how many days it is from all-time high into the bottom. And I think today is that day or something. I saw a tweet about that. But long story short, the TLDR is this is the 4-year cycle that we're seeing play out. It hasn't changed. And maybe, you know, the people who have been saying that this entire time are being vindicated.
Hey, interesting take. Katie, do you agree, or where's your head on all of this?
Yeah, so I think this latest drop, I think there's multiple factors at play here, one of which will probably include capital rotation out of Bitcoin and into these upcoming mega IPOs. I mean, everyone's really excited about this SpaceX IPO, for example, which is reportedly going to be the largest in history by a massive margin. It's like 3 times larger than Saudi Aramco, which was the last mega IPO. So if SpaceX alone ends up with a market cap of around $2 trillion, which I think is probably a fair estimate, and Bitcoin currently has a market cap of only 1.2 to 1.3, or at least as of today. And you can see that just this single stock is dwarfing Bitcoin. So even a small capital rotation out of Bitcoin and toward one of these mega IPOs, of which SpaceX is not the only one, it's going to have a big impact on Bitcoin's dollar price. And then along with that, we have the news of Strategy selling a whole 32 Bitcoin, which of course is a tiny drop in the bucket. But it seems like people are actually running scared from Bitcoin because Sailor sold. And honestly, I think that means they just failed an IQ test. And they're probably nothing more than tourists who have no idea what Bitcoin is or what it does. And then I also think there could be other things behind the scenes that we're not necessarily aware of. For example, you know, last week we talked about the lira dropping and Turkey selling gold and US treasuries in order to defend the lira. But what's to say these sovereign nations that are currently attempting to defend their falling currencies, how do we know that they don't hold Bitcoin, or they were holding Bitcoin and they haven't been selling it because it's such a liquid asset? It would be one of the first things that these countries would sell. Of course, there's no proof of this, but I think it's entirely possible. And I think we're probably a bit naive if we don't think that that's going on.
I think there are probably covert variables at play here, yeah. like what you're describing. I think the big macro trends probably apply. The biggest one for me, I think sailor selling for some people is a signal. And they feel like even though it's just a little bit of a stack, it's like he did though. And he was the guy who said, never sell your Bitcoin. I think more broadly, people are addicted to number go up because that's what they've experienced if they've been in the stock market over the last 50 years. And they're seeing these big IPOs coming about. They want to have some fresh powder to allocate to SpaceX or to Anthropic, whoever it may be. And unfortunately, I think most of those retail investors who are doing that, they have no insider knowledge, like the VC firms who were early investors, the institutional capital who were early investors. And so a lot of them are just going to get absolutely fleeced by this. That's my take. And they're going to really regret that they didn't just hold on to their Bitcoin. Katie, did you have something else you want to add there?
I was just going to say, I mean, I think the moral of the story is here that if you've been in Bitcoin for a while, we've been here before multiple times. We've seen these price drops and we've seen this kind of subsequent panicked clown show that ensues. And Bitcoin's obituaries being written all over again. And at this point in the ride that is being a Bitcoin maxi, I think we sort of blink and then we carry on. And as long as you have your Bitcoin in self-custody, you're running a node, you're not borrowing against it, and you understand that Bitcoin's dollar price is actually completely irrelevant in the long term, then you've got nothing to be concerned about here.
Well said. Let's move on here to the next story. But before we do, make sure if you're listening, you smash that like button. Be sure you subscribe to the channel because this is the place that's going to give you the conviction to hold through these downturns. Alrighty, guys, we've got crazy news in the stock market. Speaking of, U.S. stocks are now the most overvalued in 100 plus years, higher than the dot-com bubble, higher than any point in 1929. The higher it goes, the worse it ends. I tend to agree with this, but Katie, I'll pass it back to you. I would love to hear your take on this.
Yeah, so we've got a stock market here that seems to be completely detached from reality, from global geopolitics, from the actual economic base. And it's taking something like 100 million Americans along for the ride, mostly through retirement vehicles like 401ks and pension funds. I mean, we've got not just the US stock markets, other stock markets as well, like the KOSPI, the Korean stock market, the Taiwanese stock market, for example. They're also printing new all-time highs and almost going like vertical. And where have we seen this before? We've seen this in markets like Zimbabwe, Egypt, Turkey, and Venezuela. And they've all had their stock markets go vertical relatively recently. And did we all rush off to invest in those stock markets so we could get more Zimbabwean dollars or Turkish lira? Of course we didn't, because we understood that these markets were going vertical because the denominator is collapsing in real time. So people are piling into stock markets, not just because they represent great value or a great investment opportunity, but they're desperately trying to preserve the purchasing power that is rapidly declining. And this is a gamble they're willing to take.
I was on the Bitcoin News live stream yesterday. One of the things we were talking about, this was a concept I'd heard of, but wasn't super familiar with, the Buffett indicator. It's the total valuation of the US stock market divided by the total US GDP. And that's the all-time high we're talking about here. So it's like at 236% or something crazy. So basically, the US publicly traded stocks are worth way more than the actual US economy. And what I said was, this is exactly what we're talking about. When we talk about a K-shaped economy, it's the people with assets who are gaining wealth and the people without assets who are struggling just to buy their groceries every week. I completely agree that this does not end well, because at some point you're going to realize a $3 trillion valuation or a $2 trillion, whatever it is for some of these big IPOs that are coming up, they're allocating their cash somewhere because they know that they can't just hold cash. They don't understand Bitcoin fundamentally. And they're going to pump it into whatever makes most sense, whatever the highest gain potential is. And that's going to be a SpaceX IPO. I think the insiders are going to get out fast, make a bunch of money, and everyone else is going to get absolutely wrecked. Sophie, any further comments on this?
Well, I couldn't have said it better than Katie said it. That was very eloquently said. I completely agree. There is an issue at the very fundamental level with the currency, right? And so you can try to save it in these IPOs and the housing market, which is also about to pop, and all of these assets that ultimately mean nothing if the currency is worthless. And the people who are at the very, very top, like you said, Michael, are going to pull out of these IPOs and they're the ones that are going to run away. It's just like when somebody, the ICOs of 2017, right? When they were launching and then like the couple of people inside were just like rugging everybody. This is kind of the same concept, but at a larger scale. And people just think it's legitimate because it's traditional finance. But at the end of the day, everything compared to Bitcoin is a shit coin, and this is no different.
Yeah. And one other comment, I'm not going to go into the details, but they have changed some of the rules for SpaceX's IPO filing. And so they're getting fast tracked into this IPO. And so you can see it's a big club and you ain't in it. And that's why I think you need to be very cautious about speculating on a lot of these stocks, not financial advice, but not something I'm interested in doing. Okay, guys, some, exciting news. So crypto adoption statistics, 2026, this is Europe and global data. So 559 million people worldwide now hold cryptocurrency, up from about 420 million in 2023. So over, roughly 3 years. To me, this is actually a much smaller growth, but I'm optimistic that to see that over 500 million people now own, have some exposure to cryptocurrency, because ultimately I believe in the Bitcoin horseshoe. You start with Bitcoin, you go through your shitcoin phase, and then you ultimately sort of come back to Bitcoin. Sophie, these numbers impress you? Do they depress you? Are you excited about this? What's your take?
It's 100 million people more than weren't using Bitcoin before crypto. And eventually, like you said, all roads lead to Bitcoin. So I think that Square edition of Bitcoin, small businesses taking Bitcoin, also had a lot to do with this. And as time progresses, as small businesses keep using Bitcoin, and as consumers start seeing it at their checkout, it's going to catch on. And if this is true about, the overvaluation of the stock market, people are going to wonder where they should be putting their savings, because clearly it's not working with real estate. It's not working with the stock market unless you time it perfectly. It's going to end up being Bitcoin, and people are going to have to just like accept the learning curve and realize that this is what it is.
So Katie, I'm going to give a bit of a pessimistic take on this, and I would love to hear your reaction. So one of the comments is that 60% of all crypto users worldwide are under the age of 35. The average global crypto user is 34 years old. So my concern is that we have this emerging prevalence of speculation, gambling, betting markets, and people under the age of 35, call it, are more and more desperate. They can't afford a house. They can't afford a family. They don't have the assets. They didn't get to buy houses at, $20,000 like the boomers did back in the early 70s or whatever. And so many of them, I suspect, are speculating in crypto because it's something they can buy $10 of here or there, $20 of, and hope that maybe they pick the right altcoin, or maybe Bitcoin goes to the moon, whatever. And it's probably a relatively lower conviction cohort than I would hope for. Do you agree with that, Katie? Or am I just being a bit of a doomer here?
Unfortunately, it's difficult or impossible to tease out Bitcoin in a study like this, because everything has been lumped together. They call it everything is crypto. And that includes Bitcoin, that includes altcoins, and that will also include stablecoins. Yeah. And I am of the opinion that the biggest growth is occurring in regions where there is a lot of people who are unbanked. There is a big need for remittances. And these places also, so Asia Pacific, I think, is number one, have a highly developed mobile infrastructure. So what that is telling me is something different. And I think we're seeing an explosion of, or an increase in crypto use, because there is a very clear use case for these people. And I think that regions like Africa in the coming years will be an absolute sleeping giant in this case, because I think when we live in countries where we have pretty stable infrastructure and access to banking, we don't see the use of crypto, whether it's stable coins or Bitcoin or whatever, as being as necessary. But in many places around the world, this is a way for people to, say, have access to send and receive money and to bypass these ridiculously expensive remittances through the likes of Western Union. Even if people are, say, just adopting stablecoins or they're just adopting altcoins, all roads will eventually lead to Bitcoin as people realize that everything else, and especially once we have the advent of CBDCs or pseudo CBDCs in the form of stablecoins, once the problems of those become more apparent, there will be people pushed out of crypto and into Bitcoin.
Okay, I hope you're right. And actually, speaking of Turkey, because we did speak about this last week, the defending the lira, 25% of the internet population owns crypto, one of the highest rates of any country globally. So when you're in a situation where you need to find an alternative, it seems as though people begin migrating there. And unfortunately, this is now back to the doomer side. I think more countries are going to experience that and people are going to take flight toward Bitcoin out of absolute necessity moving forward. And of course, we always say this, but you need to own Bitcoin and you need to own it in self-custody. Click the link below. You can schedule a call with a member of our team. We can walk you through how we train you to do that properly. No KYC. You don't have to share your keys with us. We don't want to know how much Bitcoin you have. We just teach you the skills to do it right. And that is critical because if it isn't self-custody, it's not actually Bitcoin. Alrighty, guys, up next, we have Vietnam's Ministry of Finance proposes amendments that would allow enterprises to use Bitcoin as collateral when borrowing from banks. So Vietnam somewhat legitimizing the asset class that is crypto. Unfortunately, it is crypto more broadly. We're excited about Bitcoin. I don't tend to care about this stuff too much because I would never, even if I had a business, I would never post my Bitcoin as collateral. I want to retain my sats and not risk them to market drawdowns or regulatory uncertainty or anything like that. But Sophie, it's still exciting to see that there are actually places in the world that are recognizing the value of Bitcoin for what it can be. What's your take on this?
My take is basically that it's the same as yours. It's good that it's being recognized finally as a serious and legitimate asset class that people can borrow against. And hey, you know, if you're American and you don't want to sell your Bitcoin, but you need the cash, this is a great alternative to doing so. I know that this is in Vietnam, but this also recently started happening in the US where banks started recognizing Bitcoin as a legitimate collateral. So it doesn't surprise me to see other countries following suit. It is a legitimate asset, and it's also a great opportunity for banks to collect Bitcoin in a very easy way if the lenders don't come to pay.
Yeah, I know I sound like a broken record, but I think that's a lot of what this is the Wall Street equivalent in Vietnam wanting to scoop up Bitcoin. And they're probably cheering this on that they can take your Bitcoin and then you can default on your loan and they get to keep the Bitcoin. That's what I'd want to do if I were a less sincere person. Katie, what do you think?
I think this is an interesting story to follow, the crypto adoption one, because Vietnam is a country that represents the region that I was just talking about, Asia Pacific. And the problem that people have in these rapidly developing, but they are still developing countries. The problem that they have, there's a very strong culture of entrepreneurship. They have a huge, their economy has a massive number of micro, small businesses, medium businesses. But it's very difficult to impossible to raise capital in the traditional sense. So put up the right kind of collateral that banks traditionally wanted. And so in this way, the government is able to help small to medium enterprises start up or grow by using their digital assets. So there are a few other things included in this legislation, but you know, we're most interested in digital assets, of course, to put that up as collateral so they can take out business loans. And, you know, I always say, don't borrow against your Bitcoin. Don't put your Bitcoin up as collateral. But I also think that kind of comes from a place which is quite privileged. So, for example, in the US, I believe it's pretty easy for your average person to borrow money, whether you agree with that or not. But that is not the case in so many other countries. It gets to, in a lot of places, it's near impossible. And then they start dealing with the likes of loan sharks. So I think that legislation like this will help to make these countries more crypto and, by extension, Bitcoin friendly, and encourage people to start or grow businesses, which is kind of the complete opposite of what is happening in places like here in the EU, where they just seem extremely determined to stifle both crypto or Bitcoin and entrepreneurship at the same time. So I feel like Vietnam's kind of going the opposite way. I also am not entirely like seeing this through rose-tinted glasses either, because I do think that the banks want to be holding this collateral for obvious reasons.
I think that's a really good point. And it is very easy for me to sit here in the United States and make the comments that I do. And I think what we are seeing maybe play out to some degree is a thesis I've had for a while. And that is these smaller, less developed or underdeveloped nations have much more to gain by adopting Bitcoin in some capacity than the European Union or the US, which has global, you know, reserve status. So I think we're going to see more countries like Vietnam. Like, we talk about Panama a lot. It makes sense to me that El Salvador, for example, would adopt Bitcoin. And I think we're going to see more and more of those do that, even as the sort of the global superpowers had trend in the opposite direction. So yeah, I think it's exciting news. I would just encourage anyone in Vietnam, just be cautious about how you think about proceeding and understand that there are downturns and there are such things as margin calls, and you can lose your stack if you're not very careful. Guys, we are one story away from our donkey of the week. We've got a great one this week. Speaking of the European Union, so the ECB, the European Central Bank, says that gold has now replaced US treasuries as the world's top reserve asset. I think this makes a lot of sense to me. We have a lot of global turmoil. We've got several wars taking place at the same time, unfortunately. And we saw the Biden administration weaponize the dollar against Russia. It would make sense that people would want something neutral. It doesn't make sense to me that you could have a whole team of people working on how do we approach this and not land on Bitcoin. The only thing that comes to mind, I was actually explaining this to a friend of mine yesterday who's trying to figure out Bitcoin, is gold gives them some level of neutrality and independence from the dollar system, but it's also manipulable. And so it gives their central bank the ability to continue printing money, doing what they want to do while you can't audit gold the way that you can audit Bitcoin. You don't have to show proof of reserves. You almost can't. It's very difficult to do that. And so I think that's maybe my thesis, if I were to come up with why gold and not Bitcoin, is because I think Bitcoin puts them out of business. Sophie, I would be curious what you think of that.
Yeah, Bitcoin puts everyone on the same playing field. So if they start to move to a Bitcoin standard, they're actually going to have to do something. The governments, being they, will actually have to do something for their people. They're actually going to have to provide some value, and they won't be able to get away with the corruption that all of them inevitably do. The question of what is money eventually leads to the question of what is government. And so governments aren't just going to start using Bitcoin when they can use another alternative, being gold, where they're still hedging their bets against fiat, right? But they're not fully, you know, committing to the sovereignty level that Bitcoin can afford people. So I was looking through one of the articles that you sent, and what was interesting to me is that while the biggest central bank buyers last year were mostly troubled parts of the world, it says Poland, Kazakhstan, Brazil, China, and Turkey, the largest stablecoin issuer, Tether, was an even larger purchaser of gold in 2025. And that's very interesting because obviously we know that Tether USDT is pegged to the dollar. They buy US Treasury. So the fact that even they started buying gold tells you the direction of where the US dollar is heading. And so that's something to look out for. And that, I think, was the signal in this whole entire story.
Yes. And I think Tether too has a stable coin pegged to gold as well. So they have gold reserves to back that, or they should anyway. So it would make sense that they're doing that as well. Katie, what do you think about all of this?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things going on here. One is that countries are less willing to hold US debt for very obvious reasons, you know, the weaponized dollar system. And the second thing is that, of course, gold's value has really gone up a lot in the last year. And if we're just talking about value, it's understandable that gold starts potentially eclipsing US treasuries. Now, the thing about goal, just what you were both saying before, you know, I know recently Trump has again called for an audit of Fort Knox, but it hasn't happened. And I think the first call for an audit was, what, it was a year ago, 2 years ago, something like that. And I'm not really surprised by this because I don't know that governments want to be as transparent as Bitcoin would force them to be. If you're talking about a Bitcoin reserve, it can be audited, technically could be audited by anyone at any time. And I'm just not convinced that that's the kind of transparency that governments want at the end of the day. I mean, you know, you've got that gold hiding in Fort Knox. You can sort of say, you know, it's, you can make claims about how much you hold and the purity of the gold and all that sort of thing, but it hasn't been audited. So we don't really know.
Absolutely. All righty, guys, before we get to the donkey of the week, if you're still listening, it's because I know it's not for me. I know you love Katie and Sophie. Do them a huge favor, smash the like button, make sure you're subscribed to the channel. We would really appreciate that. And in an unsurprising turn of events, we have Jim Cramer as our donkey of the week. So he tweeted just a couple days ago, Strategy, in reference to Michael Saylor's MicroStrategy, sells Bitcoin $2.5 million. May have to reevaluate pro-Bitcoin stance given how much Strategy has propped it up. Key trampoline for years. Some say manipulation. I think that's too strong. So Jim Cramer has flip-flopped on every topic under the sun his entire career, but has reliably been wrong about everything. Is this a bottom signal? Is Jim just tweeting, you know, it's for fun? Like, what do you think's happening here? Katie, I'll let you take it.
Well, I've obviously been living under a rock because this is kind of my introduction to Jim Cramer. And it's probably because I don't watch mainstream TV, or I think he's on CNBC. And so I'm probably fortunate in that respect. So I've also just recently learned about the inverse Cramer, which means that you do the opposite of whatever Jim Cramer does, and you will do well if you do that. I mean, going back to the panic over Bitcoin's price dropping and the subsequent circus that always emerges around it, you know, the likes of Cramer, his role is to be a clown in that circus. You know, you've got a mainstream talking head whose job it is to provide you with a distraction so you can start to doubt your position or your conviction and think, well, if this guy who has millions of viewers and millions of followers says that Strategy selling Bitcoin means potentially the end of Bitcoin and he's going to reevaluate it, then, you know, maybe I better sell too. And, you know, sure, if you only hold Bitcoin or paper Bitcoin, as may be the case, because you think it's going to provide you with more fiat and then sell, it's, you know, you're going to get, and you make a loss, you're going to get what you deserve. I mean, if you understand that Bitcoin is money and its value cannot be measured in falling dollars, then people like Cramer are nothing but annoying noise. I mean, it's, for me, it's a case of not my circus, not my clowns, or donkeys, as it may be.
Well said. Sophie, what's your take on Jim?
So Katie learned something about Jim Cramer. I also learned something about Jim Cramer, and that's that if you do the inverse Cramer, you will be a better trader than Nancy Pelosi, which is incredible. And just so everybody has an idea, 2.5 million Bitcoin, $2.5 million that he sold, the famous 32 Bitcoin. As of June 1st, 2026, Strategy actually holds 843,706 Bitcoin. So when you zoom out and look at it from that perspective, and you understand like how much of a nothing burger this is and how the markets move on vibes, and you know, he sold, I can't believe the guy who said he would never sell. Bro, this guy is a billionaire. Like, it doesn't really matter. He has hundreds of thousands of Bitcoin. And you know, it's crazy how this has just moved the narrative and the media into a frenzy, into thinking, wow, is it time to sell Bitcoin? I told myself I would never sell Bitcoin, but now that Michael Saylor has, it might be time to liquidate my stack. No! Remember why you got into Bitcoin in the first place. Remember why you self-custody. Remember why this is important. And just listen, always do the opposite of Jim Cramer. You will be rich. for it.
Absolutely. And hopefully everyone listening got into Bitcoin for something other than certainly Jim Cramer, but even Michael Saylor. He's just a guy. Kill your heroes, stay humble, stack sats. And of course, like I said, click the link below, schedule a call with our team. We can train you on proper self-custody because, like I said, it is not Bitcoin if it's not in self-custody. Ladies, I think that's a good place to wrap up. Really appreciate you both being here. First time I've been outnumbered by the gals on the show. So thank you both for being a part of this historic moment. Sophie, why don't you tell people where they can find you and your show?
Absolutely. You guys can find me on Simply Bitcoin's channel. I have a show called Satoshi, and you can find me on X at Internet Sophie.
Fantastic. And make sure you all click the like button, subscribe to the channel before you hop off. Go to our website too, thebitcoinway.com. Subscribe to our newsletter. We've got a link directly to that below as well. Katie, Sophie, thank you guys so much for the time. Look forward to catching up with you both again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Cheers.